Hello, dear friends, and thanks for joining us on this webinar. As always with us, Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Boris, Michael, I'm Simeon. And today we're going to talk about inner reflection, inner attainment. As always, we're translating this show into 22 languages. Feel free to ask. And let's begin. Boris, if you can read. Yeah, this is an article from TESS, part one. Истеклют пнемит, inner reflection. And it goes, first you must know when dealing with spiritual matters that have no concern with time, space, and motion, and moreover, when dealing with godliness, we do not have the words by which to express and contemplate. Our entire vocabulary is taken from sensations of imaginary senses. Thus, how can they assist us where sense and imagination do not reign? Yeah, practically our entire vocabulary is created out of our senses, out of our perception of the world. Newborns, they can cry or make some sounds, and that's it. Later, gradually, they get the ability to become more like animals, then like little children, human beings, and so on, meaning to the degree of their development. They develop language skills. Every creature has language skills, whether it's chemical, biological, of gestures, smells, and so on. Meaning on every level, there is some kind of interaction. But the language that we're talking about is one that's unrelated to our body. Meaning our body also takes part in this communication with others. But by saying language, we mean communicating information that is unrelated to the levels of the inanimate, vegetative, and the animate degrees, but only to the human degree. The human degree is very special. It doesn't exist in any animal. It's a perception of reality that's above, higher than the one that our animate body perceives from the surrounding world. And so how to explain it? How to communicate it? You can't do it through the animate body, actually, because it's not meant for expressing such qualities, concepts that are higher than it. It doesn't have the ability to do so, the animate body, the animal body. And therefore, what follows here is that we're kind of mute in this respect. So, how can we somehow format ourselves, create such conditions for ourselves, such an instrument that will be able to convey our inner emotional and intellectual attainments that are unrelated to man, that we would be able to pass on to others? This is also a problem. And that could be correctly perceived by others and that they'll respond correctly to us. Meaning, it's a very complicated task. No one knows how to do it. We see that our entire world is perplexed due to lack of correct communication between people. On the simplest level, how people, teachers, students, spouses, politicians, doesn't matter where and how, simply don't understand each other. All the more when we talk about spiritual matters that are beyond the realm of the perception of an ordinary person, then here we're lost altogether. So you can't explain it in words, you can't sense it, the imagination doesn't work here. In these four sentences, Balasulam simply said that you can't feel it in any way. Later he tries to explain it, but still. So what are we doing now? Right now, here, we're trying to find a language that, first of all, if someone perceives some sensations that are above the animal degree, the animate level, for him to, first of all, be able to correctly perceive them, to form them correctly inside himself, to put it in kind of a information package, to be able to convey it, communicate it to others, and so that others will perceive it correctly, hoping that they will respond correctly. It's a language from a completely different, new level of communication. And this is something that Kabbalists found, and actually it's only at their disposal, meaning actually it's for anyone that reaches this degree of communication, and it's very serious. It's a non-egoistic degree, meaning having nothing to do, completely unrelated to our world, and therefore is called the language of the branches. I'd like to read another passage just for us to understand the depth of Balasulam's words. How is it possible to express that which you have researched in the upper world and disclose these things in a book through words like in any other science? And this has to be very precise, because if there is one wrong word, then it distorts the entire understanding, and the student will get confused immediately. The thing is that if we can conclude in our world that more or less this called bitter, this called sour, and so on and so forth, or according to other parameters, because each of us feels something, and we can be in constant interaction and agree on common concepts, then there, where we're not talking about what we feel and sense, but about some more disconnected concepts from what we sense and feel, then there you can't. It's like if you translate something into English and Russian. They have equal strength, meaning we underline that there could be differences in opinion here and there, but we have to reach a state where these translations will be equal, similar. But with the spiritual, it's a problem because you can't feel it, you can't explain it, you don't know how another person perceives it because his spiritual system is concealed from you. You send a signal someplace, how will it be perceived, processed, and how will this next device called a receiver, called man, will respond to it is unknown. So there's a question. How can you, as a Kabbalist, make sure that someone else understood you? Suppose you as a teacher, do your students perceive you correctly? With students, it's easier. Therefore, I'm not really in contact with anyone else besides my students, because I keep my students inside of me. I keep them inside myself. I fulfill them. I control them. How to put it? There is all the time a very direct contact, awakening certain reactions, a certain influence on myself, and then I follow the reactions, and correspondingly, I change myself, not them. This is how it is. Meaning, a teacher in this case has to adapt himself to the students rather than the students having to adapt themselves to the teacher. Why is there a connection between what you feel, imagine, and your ability to express these things in words? Repeating the question. How else can you do it? Animals have a natural language. It's like children. They laugh, they cry, they yell. They have a certain amount of reactions. But how can you do that with spiritual concepts? The problem is that the problem with spiritual concepts is that I don't know how someone else perceives it. I can't permeate the other. We have to have some special kind of mutual communication. We have to be connected in a certain system, locked in a certain system. It's not simple. We don't understand that our connection with each other can only go through the Creator. Eventually, I don't have the patience to keep developing this idea, but to put it simple, the bottom line is that the connection between us, if it's not on the inanimate vegetative or the animate level, but it's on the spiritual level, meaning soul to soul, it can only be connected through the Creator, communicated through the Creator, and therefore there's nothing that you can do about it. We have to reach this degree, and then we'll start understanding each other. We can't do without the Creator. The Creator is the system of communication that includes all of us in Him, and only through Him will we start correctly perceiving each other. Or, to the contrary, by aspiring to reach each other, we'll start studying and communicating with the Creator. Gyogi from Odessa is asking, how does the spiritual receptacle sense called screen, masach in the wisdom of Kabbalah, work? The masach, the screen, isn't the main sense. It only aids, helps, meaning. Were we to be an equivalence of form with the Creator and between ourselves, then we wouldn't need any screen. We're all on the same frequency, and that's that. The thing is that to rise to the level of this frequency where we can connect with the Creator and the friends, this is something that I can do only if I rise above myself, meaning the degree of rising above yourself is called a screen. And it's possible to rise above oneself only to the measure of egoism that one has, meaning if I have 10 kilos of egoism, suppose I can rise above them, then I can communicate with the Creator and through the Creator, through this system called Elohim, Creator, Avaya, to transmit to anyone else that's a part of it, to the measure of my ascent. This ascent of mine allows me to correctly connect to others, to try and connect, communicate with them on that level. The communication is like in a modem. It has to be, on my part, similar to the communication that comes from the other person, but when we're included in this collective mutual system, it's arranged by the upper force. The light equalizes these frequencies. Question: how do you, as a Kabbalist, adapt yourself to your students? How do you change yourself? Like we adapt ourselves to little children, newborns, when they grow up, when they become bigger and bigger, we adapt ourselves to them all the time. It's not that they adapt themselves to us. It said that a little child, he's the head of the family, because the family exists for him. So what does the group exist for? In order to serve me or for me to serve them? I have to raise them to the next level. Tamar from Rostov is asking, when you keep the students inside yourself, Do you do it through the Creator, or they're inside your spiritual partsuf, like a baby in his mother's womb? That means inside the Creator, because that system called womb in which I carry my students, it's called the Creator in me, and only in Him, the, so to speak, future souls are born. Is there some kind of special language that you have with your students? The only special language that I have with my students is that we mutually study the works of the Kabbalists, and the way we communicate between ourselves in these works, we draw the upper light, and it teaches each of us. No one gets directly from the teacher or student from student, never. It all happens through the collective system, even if we don't perceive it. What exactly do you control, or for what? I control only the portion, the dosage of the spiritual information that I can convey, communicate to my students for their correct, optimum perception of information and sensation. Do you discern the depth and sharpness or speed of the changes of the states? I discern the states and give them correspondingly. Many times, meaning maybe the material doesn't change, and I'm not the one who chooses it, by the way, because it doesn't really make a difference. What does make a difference is that when I start explaining, they read the materials, but when I start explaining, then in my explanation, there are corresponding changes, an adjustment to that wave on which the students are on. Amazing. The internet, look how it works.
You were talking about what can be checked, what can be verified. So here's the question. Can we check of whether with our corporal mind if something is not used for the goal? Rough. I don't know about corporal mind. Even our corporal my students don't really use their corporal minds the way that people think, right? I don't even know what that is, really. All the words that we use, they're incorrect words. They mean that they signify certain things, certain notions. But it has nothing to do with the corporeal mind. If we try to explain it to someone not from here, they're not going to understand it. Host, there are students who study for 20 years, those who are one. How can you give them all the same dose? How can it fit everyone? I give, and everyone perceives to the extent that they are able to accept, that they're capable of accepting. And what goes into what's released, what goes live, it doesn't matter. Look at all the people that are connected now, and everyone receives what they can post. So it's the same dose, but everyone receives whatever they can. Rav, yes. The dose that I give out, I give it out so that it would be suitable for everyone in terms of information and feelings, and everyone accepts it to the extent that they can. Host, but you still control what you say, right? Rob, well, clearly I cannot say what more than what people are capable of accepting, but it doesn't speak to their spiritual level of perception. Host, when we are on the spiritual level, we'll be able to understand each other without words, since it said that there are no words. Rob, well, yes, we can work on the same level of the screen without verbal communication. But this is not for right now. It may not only be between two people that are close to one another, near one another. They can be close physically, but be in two different worlds. It doesn't mean anything. These are very small, minor differences in our world. Why is it that when you catch a certain sensation, you often can't even express it for yourself? Rav, yes, that happens. It means that you're not yet capable of perceiving in the heart and in the mind the influence in equal measure. Host, let's continue the topic of language of root and branch. So, Kabbalists have found a language that they can convey to one another their attainments with the language of root and branch. They look at the consequences in this world and the cause of these things in the upper world, and they called it the language of root and branch, root and branches. Rob, yes, it is a language. We need to understand that it's a language meant for communication, but not for attainment. In other words, so what if I listen to doctors speak to one another? I'm going to understand some of what they say, but perhaps only certain external names and terms, but not the internal meaning of it, because I'm not a doctor myself. I know they're speaking about certain organs and the way that they function and various medical parameters and analyses. They may be speaking a language where I might be able to understand words, but I'm going to lack the knowledge in order to really attain it, to understand it. The same is true of Kabbalah. I can read Kabbalistic books written in a beautiful, lovely language, Russian, English, Hebrew, doesn't matter. But at the same time, if I read certain sentences, I may not understand them at all. We know that from the people who come to study with us, they can read the text without any issues, but they don't understand anything that they talk about. So there is a difference between knowing the words and understanding their meaning. The language of branches, besides everything else, talks about not only that it's that we know the mechanical meaning of the words, like the screen, tsumtsum, restriction, reflected light, direct light, chasadim, chokhma. What this language is that in our world, a word name represents a branch, and in the spiritual world, I immediately imagine this, I picture this, the root of this word, of this notion, the quality of love, the soul, connection, and so on. Everything that pertains to the communication of the spiritual system, what Kabbalah talks about. Host. Can it be that a Kabbalist might not know certain roots? Everything begins on the level of the Kabbalist, right? Well, of course, yes. And not only the branches, the general system of Avaya is manifests pretty quickly, fairly quickly. And then all sorts of nuances come up, various phenomenon on different levels, and they add a great many sensations, and very important sensations, because they determine the quality of perceiving of spiritual qualities and actions. So there may be very seemingly insignificant tones, but they add a tremendous, they complement tremendously the spiritual information host. But the Zohar often describes like various gardens, animals, trees. Why did they need to express it the way that it does? Rav, because it's a language of branches. They cannot write to you in any differently. They talk about them because these are the, they indicate the notion, the parts of your soul on the spiritual world. And Baal Salam didn't want to write it any differently. We need to understand. There are four languages that can be used to describe spiritual qualities. And he decided to use the Kabbalistic language instead of the philological, let's say, language. But it's also a language. From Chicago, we have a question. Can we say that the root above determines the destiny of the branch below? Rav, yes, absolutely. That's the absolutely correct assessment. And it determines the freedom of will of the object below, yes? Rob, yes. Oh, it's so good to see the Azerbaijan group around this beautiful table. Hello to all of you. Question from Berlin. Can we formulate certain laws of the language of branches? Ralph, the laws of the language of branches are very precise. First of all, in order to use the language of branches, we need to be in two worlds simultaneously, in the physical and in the spiritual. In order to understand the language of branches, we need to very clearly be raising information from below upward and bringing it down from above downward, meaning being very, understand the system of interconnections very clearly. And we need to understand how our world, how the upper world clothes on top of our world, and how from within our world we discover the upper world, and how it works and operates in this with our world, and how it activates it, stimulates it. Yes. Host. We have a question. Meditation is also inner introspection. How does it differ from Kabbalistic, from the Kabbalistic kind? Rav, I'm sorry, but I don't know what meditation is. There is no meditation in Kabbalah. Meditation, sometimes it can be called prayer, meaning a request, a raising of a desire from the lower degree to the higher that stimulates the upper degree to help a lower degree. This is called a prayer. But there is no other kinds of meditation. What other kind of meditation can we talk about? I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I heard many things about meditation. People came to me and tried to teach me, but that ended very quickly. I would say bye to this person because I only study classical Kabbalah and I teach only what's in it. Whatever person may have decided, come up with his own system, for me, that's not proof. So I don't understand how you can meditate, meaning develop one's imagination to the point where it begins to influence you. It's like you become part of this self-made loop, and you transfer yourself into various imagined dimensions. Kabbalah has no patience for this. I would say it doesn't tolerate it, even. Because Kabbalah is a science. Host, I want to return to the language of branches and connect the Torah. Like imagine, Kabbalist was sitting there, started researching his ego, examining his ego, suddenly he saw a serpent. Rav, he didn't see a serpent. Where did he see a serpent? Around himself or within himself? Host, yes, and he understood that, yes, this is the root, the branch, and the root is the ego, and he called this the serpent, and that, you know, the tree. Rob, he may never have seen a serpent, a snake in his entire life. Host, but how, if he never saw something in this world, how could he have named it a root in the upper world? So, like, he needs to know all the names, all of zoology, biology, chemistry, right? He needs to know all of this? No, it's all revealed to a person. This state is revealed. That's called snake or serpent host. Even though he may never have seen a snake in his life physically, Rav, of course, host. So this is where it all comes from, right? The poison, venom, that's what it gives that the name of a snake. And when we reveal the Creator, right, on a certain level, we're going to reveal also the snake in us. Rav, I don't know to what extent the Creator is connected to the snake, the serpent, but look, the Creator doesn't have an image. It's simply a quality. It can clothe itself into quality and command certain action, and to express itself through matter, but not by itself, in and of itself. Well, how can you tell me beauty? Where is it? Where does it belong? So you need to imagine for yourself either a person or an animal, and to imagine it's for yourself to show that it exists, this quality of beauty exists in him. But abstractly, how can you speak abstractly about beauty? You always clothe it into a certain object. That's why spiritual qualities don't have any material carriers, but in order to express them in a certain way, you absolutely must express them using certain carriers. Oh, so when you say the ego and the serpent, there is a certain connection, right? There is a link. Ralph, we're not going to understand what we're talking about here. What is this serpent? What's so special about a serpent? How many serpents exist? By the way, that's exactly what I'm asking. What's so special about a serpent? Ralph, you're never going to find any proof of this in our world, right? But there was a time when I was studying with Elel, Rabash's student. He was also an elderly person. He was around 65 at the time. I was 30. I was 32, 33. And he didn't feel good at some point, and he said, I need to go for a walk. And I took him to the zoo. We had a big zoo. It was huge. You could drive through it in a car. There was a big pond with hippos. I took him to an enclosure with elephants, and he said, "Oh, now I see what this is. This is a mountain with a snake in the front and a snake in the back." I remember how he perceived it, right? Like with a trunk in the front and a tail in the back. I remember being shocked. This is a person who studied Kabbalah all his life, and the way that he, what he saw here. So there is no. They saw, they understood that in our world, the spiritual quality called serpent, in our world, it gave this particular quality. But they didn't study botany, zoology, biology, but they wrote a lot about it so thoroughly as though they know the underlying nature of all of these creatures. So all the trees, all the different animals that are written about in the Torah, Rob, how could they know this? Well, you think they went to school, to university, majoring in this? No, but they described absolutely everything, and even those that don't exist in our our world, because either they don't exist in our world yet, or but they will be revealed in the future. But it all comes from the attainment of the upper world, because every root above needs to be expressed, manifested below in our world. Question from Novosibirsk: what is mind from the Kabbalah's viewpoint? Is that the only thing that differentiates man from animal, or is there something else? Mind is purely an auxiliary element in us that allows us to differentiate one feeling from another, and nothing else. It doesn't exist in and of itself. But because we have one desire with a fulfillment and another desire, in order to compare them one with the other, we have the mind. It services our desires, and it works at this at a junction between the desire of reception and desire to bestow. And comparing these things, so this works in the level of this world and the level of the upper world as well. It allows us to adapt, to compare one against the other. That is the network of the mind. So what comes first, the desire or the mind? Rav, the desire, of course. So the bigger the desire of a person, the more, the smarter he is, then? Rav, yes, the bigger the person's desire, the bigger his mind, because it pushes the person to recover this connection, this network of connections. The bigger a person's desire, the various different desires, by the way, the bigger his mind. So it's not one great desire that he needs, but many different desires with all their different fulfillments, and their interaction between them. That's what makes a person, you know, big and smart. Host, can you develop those desires in you, Rav? Yes, of course. There were people in before that were like Renaissance men, right? They studied all sorts of different fields, all sorts of things to grow themselves. You can't really do that right now. And if we hadn't also achieved certain egoistic ceilings, we would still be doing that. The wisdom of Kabbalah is against one-sided development, so just the opposite. All the four sides need to come together in us harmoniously. Host, why is spirituality not allow us to have any proof, any evidence? Why would a person need knowledge without using any evidence for support? Well, there is absolutely no way that anything in our world can be used as proof of the spiritual world, in no way. You can sit before your dog or cat and try to convince them of certain philosophy, and nothing is going to happen. They'll still take the dog will still wag their dog and snatch a piece of meat from you, and the dog is not going to be at fault. It's your fault for not understanding the nature of the animal. We cannot be... We cannot play with these, mess around with these things. We need to understand that the entrance into the upper world exists in obtaining the quality of bestowal. Host, I understand that this is how people get drawn, right? That supposedly there's proof, Ralph, but there cannot be proof. By default, if you're hoping that there will be a proof of the upper world, the world beyond, of the existence of the soul, people can tell you anything, spin anything you want. I remember when a book came out about the life after death. Hosts, yes, people were delighted. It was very, very a huge hit. Rough. Yeah, of course, people felt confident that it proved life after death. And I know that when people died, people who I knew in my social circles, and I had to go say my goodbyes with them, and there are several people who stood by, and they were there, and they were talking about life after death, and reading a certain prayer, and we're giving them like tasks to perform in the upper world. These people died in very, being very inspired. They felt like it's as if they were just flying away to a different land, and they also have things that they'll be doing. They'll be active. It was very interesting to watch. I was quiet, of course. I didn't say anything. There were instances where these people had nothing to do with Kabbalah, but they read a very particular prayer that you need to read before death, that I am giving my soul away into your hands, and this person felt like they were just moving from one dimension into another. Host, is it better for a person to know or to not know? Rough. In this particular state, it's better to know. Right. If he's in a deathbed, he's about to die, sure, it's better for them to think that. But of course, in our state, when I'm looking at the friends right now on the screens, I think we need to know, we all need to know that this is something that we need to earn here and now in this life. Host. I had a friend who was in death's doorstep for like a week, going back and forth. He had almost died several times, and then at the end he woke up and he said, "What? Here, this again?" Rav, yes, that's unfortunate, right? Like he can't. That's what we need to do, right? We need to rise above to the higher level and live there, and then you're not going to feel the difference. Host, what is the transfer of information? Rav, information is a unit of Rishimo. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the informational record that speaks about over which level of the ego we are working. There's another question that everyone asks. Looking at a branch in this world, a person who is not yet a Kabbalist without a screen, can he somehow compare it against the spiritual root? Rav, how does he know? How could he do that? Where is he going to get it from? Host. So there's nothing you can do, right? Rav, how can this branch in this world help you understand the root in the upper world? Like, look at this cup right here. What can he tell me? This is a vessel that is meant to be filled with liquid of some kind, and that's it. In the spiritual world, a vessel is my desire to be fulfilled by something that doesn't pertain to itself and for a particular future action that also doesn't pertain to himself, doesn't belong in him, is not in him. And with this, to come to an action that will benefit the higher one, the upper one that stands above him. So this is an action, intention. This cup needs to be alive. Host. So this is all just like guesswork, conjecture. Like if something happens to a person in this world, he starts deciding, oh, this has happened because of that or this. Rav, well, a person can think whatever they want. They can imagine whatever they want. But come on, friends, we're not little kids. I don't even want to speak on this level with all of you. But a person is going to start thinking of why it happened, because of this reason or another reason. At night, you know, people dream all sorts of things. Rav, well, dreams are different. But again, we're not talking about the spiritual world here. We're talking about our corporeal reality. When you separate a little bit from our corporeal reality, and then you can feel, sense a little bit of the next level, of still this reality, not spiritual reality. When suddenly you'll understand, you'll have an inkling as to what you need to do next. That's happened to me before. I had to take a test at a university, an exam, and I knew for some reason that I needed to do like this specific action. This is what I need to study. It's like I felt it in my in a dream, and I did that. It's as if it already happened. It was like deja vu. And I knew exactly what I needed to do, what I needed to study, what I needed to prepare for. This wasn't the upper light, it wasn't the upper world. It's just being able to come up just a little bit higher above this informational field here. Host, is this something that we can develop in ourselves? Rav, no, you shouldn't do that. Can you imagine how this would enslave you? You would only be thinking about how to be in that next level, in the next state of yours, right? Like how to win $1 million with a lottery ticket. And what are you going to do with this then? No, absolutely not. You're going to know what's going to happen to you when you're going to die, all of your actions. Will you be able to live like this? No. This is done purposefully. We need to understand the necessity of this upper governance that hides all this from us. Host, but sometimes it doesn't hide it. Rav, there are certain people like Wolf Messing who can sense that. But still, this is a disorder. This is not a normal state of being. There are people like that, yes. There are many people that came to me and that tried to prove to me that this is spirituality. Oh, so you're claiming that it has nothing to do with spirituality. Rob, of course not. This, absolutely not. This is psychology. Our human physical psychology. It's information that's written on a higher informational plane, but it's not for bestowal. It's not in favor of reason, for the sake of Bina. It's simply knowledge of what's going to happen tomorrow. You rise above, just a little bit above this level, and you see it. So, what's there? Of course, we don't live in the same kind of informational level as we feel, as we sense now. Host, but why is it given to certain people? Rav, we can't know that. We know that it exists, and sometimes it opens up to certain people. But I don't know why. But understand, I don't care about that. I wouldn't want to do it myself. Host, well, look, you don't want to know for yourself. But what about for others, for humanity, Rav? I don't want to know for them either. I don't, because it takes away my freedom of will. These are the confines in which I need to work. I don't want to know what's going to happen a minute from now or 10 years from now. It doesn't matter to me, because at any moment of my existence, I need to be connected to the Creator. And only with respect to Him must I work with Him at every minute. Without the past, without the present, without the future, only in the present. This is a very important law. In Kabbalah, what you don't learn from history, from past mistakes. Rav, no. When you learn from past mistakes, yes. But when you see the future, that's very different. Marina asks, the material world is is money governs the material world. Those who have more exploit others. What is the spiritual root of such a world? I don't see spiritual people. Well, there's great differences between them, and why is it represented the way that they do? Rav, in the books, it is written that a spiritual person is poor because he senses that he's always lacking, like he's lacking the attainment of the Creator, lacking spirituality, lacking bestowal. But it's not the poverty that we're talking about. The poverty that you're talking about here, that comes from religions about poor people who are supposedly poor people need to be, you need to be poor in order to be spiritual. Of course not. Yes, wealth above the normal, it also enslaves a person. Rich people cannot study Kabbalah. They're too involved, they're too absorbed in servicing their wealth host. So we have new students here. So tell us, what is the root of money? Well, the root of money is the screen. It's that's from the name, Kesef, Kisuf, a covering. Money is a force that covers our ego and gives us the opportunity to work above our egoistic desire, to act above our egoistic desire. So the right action with money, using money in this world, I can do lots of good. But who does that? No, it's usually the opposite. A person falls below. Question from Vilnius. A person can see his spiritual potential, or a Kabbalist, there's a Kabbalist here, a person's spiritual potential. Rav, it only depends on the person how he can realize and actualize his potential. Host, no, he's actually asking about whether a Kabbalist can see the potential of a student. And Rav, yes, the teacher can see the potential of the student, the height of the soul, but how it will be actualized, that he does not know. There lies the student's freedom of will. In the spiritual world, are there roots that have not yet been manifested in this world? Rav, well, if they're not going to manifest, how would I know that? Host, are there spiritual phenomena that should not manifest in our world, but they still exist, or everything needs to manifest? Rav, everything, absolutely everything, because the system is complete and it's shattered, and precisely by combining it, assembling it, we also deepen it by 620 times, and so it becomes more detailed and more expanded. But it always existed, and it continues to exist in its original state. At first, in its original state, and then as we reconstruct it. Host. So it has to exist in the spiritual world, and then it has to manifest in our corporeal world. Rav, yes, generally speaking, yes. It is written that each spiritual root, each corporeal branch needs to touch its spiritual root host. So, like the extinction of the dinosaurs, all the environmental disasters, the appearance of humankind, Rav, yes, all these things need to have manifested, of course. It all comes from the spiritual roots host. Well, there's one question that keeps snowing at me. I watch your show with Simeon about the secrets of the Eternal Book, and you talked about the ten commandments. And I couldn't understand one thing. Like you mentioned something that the ten commandments, like for instance, do not steal. That you said that when you're around a group of people and you don't you don't initiate their advancements when you don't give to them. That's the meaning of do not steal. And that honor thy mother and father, it talks about actually like the system of forces that is not being honored. Why couldn't it be like explained in parentheses or something next to it? Rob, who would understand it? Host, well, what? Like the way that I explain it now. What would be so difficult to explain it? Rav, what are you talking about? What spiritual system? Are you addressing regular people, the masses? How are you going to convey this information to them? Host, but still, Rav, no, I understand them. Of course, to write down, you know, think, host, no, just like a footnote. Guys, by the way, Egypt refers to, don't think of it as an actual, you know, that this actually happened. No, this is all allegorical. It happens spiritually. Why couldn't they, like, put this in a footnote? Why confuse people over thousands of years? Or is there a certain trick to it? Rav, there is a trick to it in that it gives people freedom to the extent of one's development. One can interpret correctly. We can interpret spiritual work either on the level of this world or on the level of the spiritual world to the extent of his growth. You see? I too have asked these questions, and in my earlier books I tried to describe it, rewrite it, although in a small, kind of like popular style. But there is no such language to describe spiritual actions that could, language of our world that could describe everything that's written about in the Torah so simply. I can't imagine. Host, even in the Kabbalistic language, it couldn't be described. Rav, it was described in Kabbalistic language. Look at Ari's writings, Talmud HaSfirot. Host, so Talmud HaSfirot is talking about the same spiritual information as in the Torah, or is something different? Different spiritual states, or is everything the same, just in using a different language? Rav, no, same thing. In the book of Zohar was also the same, but saying the same thing, except like 90% of it was lost. Host. So all the spiritual books talk about the same exact system, but using different languages. Rav, yes, there are four languages in Kabbalah. Host, so we have a blitz of questions. The cause and effect of actions, don't they explain the connections of happiness in the person's life? Rav, no. I can do really good actions and receive tremendous suffering in return. One is not related to the other in any way. Question, how can one learn to look within oneself? Rav, one must learn within oneself the following way. Look at the friends and sense your reaction towards them. That's what it means to look within oneself. Question. It is written that a parent who does not punish his children is bad, is evil. How do you punish your students? Rav, I don't punish my students, they punish me. Punishment, a person in that state punishes himself. I try to give as much as I can, and they accordingly take what they can. Question, what are the spiritual actions that take place during the morning lesson? In the morning lesson, there is a great deal of information that flows between us, and he who is aimed at it, he can be like a bird catching a channel of an air channel and rise on it. Question, how can one know if he advances correctly? Is there some indication? Rav, only from the way that he looks at the teacher and the friends, that sees the necessity. Question, is what's good or bad in spiritual relationship? Rav, when you work for the benefit of others, that's good. When you work for the benefit of yourself, it's bad. Question, can Kabbalah defeat art? Rav, Kabbalah is art. If Kabbalah captures a person, then naturally his various corporeal activities may suffer. Question. I live in a small town. I've been studying for 3 years. I watch daily lessons and these are lessons. Should I stop because there is no group around me? Rav, absolutely not. Do not stop. A person needs to be connected to us as much as possible, with a group if possible. If not, then without a group. But connection with us, gradually you will see. It's a process. It accumulates. And ultimately, a person begins to feel and understand what happens in him. In the depths of the world, and it all works. Last question: if I watch your lesson in recording, will I receive a portion, particle of the light from you? Rav, yes, you will, and not only a tiny portion. You will receive that spiritual dose. Be with us. I wish all of you luck, and until we meet again, goodbye.